Sense and Sinners, Good and Evil, The Truth and Lies, In Excess and Devil Inside, first of all, for Rob. And Paul asks for the ELO and the Evil Woman. That's 17 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Now, I wasn't going to say anything else about Dominic Cummings, but I can't resist this from Pisa. Good morning, Pisa. When I was a boy, I used to read the Eagle comic every week. The main hero in this comic, which was unashamedly aimed at boys, was Dan Dare, an interplanetary hero. Dan Dare's main adversary was the Mekon, a space villain who lived on the planet Venus. The Mekon had a small body, but an enormous head with a bulbous, bald forehead. He was green. His henchmen were called the Treens, and they were also green and lived on Venus. Dan Dare always won, of course, and the Mekons always fled to Venus to lick their wounds and prepare for the next attempts to conquer the Earth. In my opinion, Dominic Cummings looks like the latest incarnation of the Mekon, with his large, bald forehead, but it seems he's found a way to do away with his green colour, as so have his Treens. The colour green can be made by mixing blue with yellow, or in the other direction, split up into blue and yellow. I think that's how they've avoided looking green this time. His Treens are blue now, but some of them have also retained some yellow colour from splitting of the green. Now, the Mekon's chief Treen, for example, has a shock of yellow hair, and his other Treens have retained a yellow streak and are afraid to admit their mistakes. Beware, the Mekon is about to take over the Earth, and he can already do whatever he likes and can go wherever he likes in the UK. I've heard he no longer lives on Venus, but splits his time between London and Durham. But where is Dan Dare, our superhero? Well, he's over 90 years old now, with an artificial hip joint, so I don't think he'll be able to wield his truth ray gun this time, or to throw any honesty grenades. The situation looks bad for the Earthlings living in the UK. Very good, Peter. And he says, I'd like to request Honesty by Billy Joel, most importantly, from the Mekon. Something cultural for this morning's comedy clip.
Good evening. Welcome to the Festival Hall for the first of three concerts given by Emile Gilbert to celebrate the 131st anniversary of the birth of Tchaikovsky. Gilbert stars tonight with Tchaikovsky's Contessa Padovana.
Oh dear.
Gilbert has trodden on his violin. He's put his foot through the bridge and sat on the soundpost. Is he going to attempt to finish the piece? I think he is. He's picked up the sound case and fingerboard of this beautiful 17th century instrument, actually made by Nicola Amati at Cremona, and he's trying to wedge them under his chin. But no, it's no good. The applause you can hear now is because the leader of the orchestra is going over to Gilbert to lend him his own violin. By no means a lesser instrument than Gilbert's. It is in fact a Stradivarius, so this is a very sporting gesture. And now Gilbert prepares once again to play Tchaikovsky's Contessa Padovana. Oh dear, the end's come off. He's caught the peg box in one of the uprights of his music stand, and in trying to get it out with his ear, he's completely snapped off the fingerboard. What a pity. I've certainly never seen this happen before in the Festival Hall, and the leader of the orchestra's not looking very pleased. In fact, he's punched Gilbert in the face. There's a bit of blood, but Gilbert has managed to snatch another instrument from the second violins, and he's climbing off the way up towards the organ, and he's going to have yet another bash at Tchaikovsky's Contessa Padovana. And he's crushed the soundbox with his chin on the second bar there. This really isn't his day. And now the conductor, Otto Klemperer, is hopping across the stage towards Gilbert and trying to poke at him with a stick. I must say this is amazing. It's the first time in the Festival Hall that I've seen a violinist of Gilbert's calibre poked with a stick. And one of the oboists has leapt onto Klemperer's back and is pulling his hair out. I must say it's wonderful to see the loyalty which a great soloist like Gilbert can still command amongst his fellow musicians. In fact, several of the cherists have thrown off their clothes and are making a vast human pyramid, standing a full 30 feet above the smoke and flames drifting across from the blazing wind section. And through the smoke I can see, yes, I can see the timpanist, one of Britain's best, has lashed himself and a Japanese friend to the kettle drum and is rolling off the stage towards the pit of ordure that has opened up under the first six rows of the stalls. Whilst throughout this, the rather unpleasant business of prizing Gilbert out from between the organ pipes is being undertaken by men of the Royal Engineers. And Gilbert is half out. He's got an army violin, and he's having another go at the Contesano Padoano, and he's playing beautifully. Oh, but oh dear! One of the Royal Engineers has stuck a crowbar through his chest, and he's dropped the violin. And these very fit young leopards have pounced upon it and are already taking bits of it across to Herr Willy Brandt on the other side of the stage. While the police have erected barriers now to keep people away from the rubble, and as fighters swoop down to bomb the last pockets of resistance, we go on to the next part of our programme. The Sonatina in E-sharp by Antonio Vivaldi, played by a Pablo Casals during his 400-foot plunge into a bucket of boiling fat.
Ooh. Shame I missed that concert.
Today's quiz.
Been well worth the money, wouldn't it?
On this day in 1960, the Everly Brothers had a number one hit in the UK with a song where the lyrics describe a man who has been wronged and publicly humiliated by his lover. What was the song?
I want you to tell me why you walked out on me. I'm so lonesome every day.
No.
No? Well, no, I don't know.
It was very good, though. Well done. Continue.
Walk
it was
right
a swing.
Back.
No.
What?
No.
No, all right. Well, give me the answer. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No.
You sure you don't know?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Kathy's Clown.
Oh, all right.
On this day in which year did Bing Crosby record White Christmas, the world's best-selling single, estimated at 100 million copies sold?
1956.
No.
Don't know.
1947.
All right, then.
And finally, you mentioned it earlier on, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday to Noel Gallagher, born on this day in 1967, English singer, songwriter and guitarist. Oasis' first single was released in 1994. What was it? Followed by the 1994 UK number one album, Definitely Maybe.
Yeah, I know, but I just can't think of it. Go on, tell me, quick.
Supersonic. It was on the tip of your tongue.
Big Fat Zero. That's all right.
That might be your round on Tuesday, then.
I can take the rough with the smooth. No, you're not getting out of that way.
Just checking you were listening to me.
We don't even have time to play a record now, so the news is next.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Heidi, 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 hi. Friday's Morning. Amongst us, best day of the week.
Oh, it's going to be a blazing weekend in the UK. 27, 28 degrees. I think it's been the driest May in 124 years, I was reading over the thing. So the depression, of course, of the coronavirus lockdown continues to weigh on sentiment, but offset a little bit by the brighter weather.
So it's also been the driest May because all the pubs are shut.
That is very true, but most importantly, the schools are opening next week, which is good news for me, not such good news for little Henry.
Well, most importantly for us, the bars and restaurants are opening next week in France.
From Tuesday, I think, isn't
yes,
it? After
yes.
the bank holiday, so they wanted you to get through the long weekend without going crazy.
Okay, thank you. Markets down yesterday. We were mentioning this yesterday. I mean, this Hong Kong legislation rattling around in the background, and it seems to have nipped investors in the bum.
Yeah, interesting phrase there. US stocks certainly erased gains and closed slightly lower yesterday. This after President Trump announced he will hold a press conference today to discuss his future relationship with China. Of course, raising fears of a ratcheting up of tensions between the world's two largest economies. Donald Trump has blamed China, number one, of course, for the spreading of the coronavirus, and number two, as you say, been very critical of the new security law in Hong Kong. The S&P 500 lost an advance of more more than 1% on the president's announcement. Stocks fell for the first time in four sessions, fell short of the longest rally of the pandemic era. Twitter was one of the big losers yesterday, down 5%. So after the president signed an executive order that loosens legal protections for social media platforms, gives regulators the power to pursue legal action against sites for the way they police their platforms. That, of course, follows on from a fact-checking row that we saw between the president and Twitter break out over the course of the past couple of days. On a positive note, actually, US data came in better than expected. There was a marginal improvement in the jobless claims for the first time since the outbreak. Durable goods orders, personal consumption beat forecast. S&P was down, was only down 0.2%. NASDAQ was off 0.5%. Focus in Europe today will be on inflation data. It's expected to fall to just 0.1% in May, down from 0.4% in April. Major concern, of course, for policymakers is reflating the economy, doing everything they can using aggressive monetary and fiscal stimulus. In terms of the opening calls on the European bourses, given the weakness we saw on Wall Street and Asia overnight, no surprise they are looking in the red. We're currently calling a FTSE down 52 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 136 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 47 points.
Well, much as we deplore China dragging the red curtain over Hong Kong, I mean, Donald Trump, according to a lot of commentators, is just looking around for people to blame for his performance over the coronavirus, and he's singled out China. But it's the last thing the world needs at the moment, an escalation of tensions between the US and China.
Yeah, we don't anticipate another trade war, but the US presidential campaign is entering its last leg, we believe. I think tensions between the two countries are unlikely to improve in the short term. And that, in turn, I think will create a headwind that's likely to curb investors' enthusiasm and could cap valuations. So, significant move potentially being heard from President Trump. It's unclear what the president may announce today, but it's rumored that Hong Kong could now be subject to the same tariffs and terms as those in place with China, and so the current preferential policies applied to the territories. Inactions are limited to this and involve broader sanctions against individuals or entities, then the market could, I think, react quite negative to that. So we wait to see what he has to say.
Do you think that many people have grasped the full enormity of this situation? Yes, I mean, while a lot of employees have been furloughed or put on partial unemployment, when that period comes to the end, there's going to be a loss of unemployment. I mean, Renault announcing they're looking at making 15,000 job cuts. And I don't know if you listen to that that business programme on the World Service, which is in the early hours of the morning, probably too early for you. It's very good, actually. Jamie Robertson does it. And they had a lot of comments on this morning, and none of them was saying anything positive, saying it's going to be at least a decade before we climb out of this mess.
Major shock, a major shock. So far, the emergency measures have been sort of masking the reality of the true hit to the economy. Many companies were, when the furlough schemes end, the job retention schemes end, will not be asking those employees to come back to work. And then you'll start to see the real effects starting to shine through in terms of higher levels of unemployment for a prolonged period of time. In the Eurozone, for example, we expect unemployment to be above the 10% level throughout the course of next year. And I think that's going to have some significant consequences, of course, for consumption, which in many cases is a key driver for many of the developed economies. The reality is uncertainty around the labour market, concerns around the shopping experience, temperature control, social distancing, all those things. A range of factors would suggest that consumption is going to remain pretty weak as you look through the course of next year, and that will continue to affect growth prospects.
But there is a way through it, as we said yesterday, with a new Green Deal. I mean, just massive training for people to sort of to put in place new technology and get companies involved in putting it in as well.
Yeah, we've talked about the negatives of the coronavirus, and clearly they're significant from a medical, from a social, and from an economic perspective, but they can also create an opportunity from a policy perspective. And we are seeing signs, actually, that governments around the world are trying to pick up the initiative for this. We've seen a significant loosening of the purse strings, and that create the incentives that are required to make a real step change in terms of the fight against some of these global changes that have been taking place.
Well, one sector that's going to be looking at a lot of unemployment is at the airline industry, and EasyJet's announcing 30% job cuts.
Yeah, we heard from them yesterday as the low-cost carrier adapts to the dramatic reduction in demand as the result of the coronavirus lockdown. They plan to axe around 4,500 jobs, shrink its fleet, talking about having 302 planes next year. That's 51 fewer aircraft than planned for 2021. They changed their model to fit the post-COVID-19 world. They expect to be flying around 30% of the capacity during the course of this year. EasyJet is considering deeper cuts than rivals. Ryanair said they'd lay off 15% of staff. Smaller rival Wizz said they would reduce its workforce by 19%. EasyJet, of course, is also grappling with attempts by its founder and biggest shareholder, Sostelios, good morning, Sostelios, to oust senior bosses at EasyJet and the fallout from a cyber attack as well. They did say they're working with airports and other suppliers to reduce costs and improve deals. Also looking to embark upon a sale and lease back arrangement for its planes that could raise between £500 and £650 million.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 123.5. Euro dollar coming in at 111. You're also going to get €1.11 for your British pound this morning.
So you're on a 4-day week next week, are you?
Well, so are you, of course.
No, I'm not.
Of course. Are you not taking a bank holiday?
Never take bank holidays.
Oh, you are a trooper, aren't
Information
you?
Information has to be provided, you know.
Key worker. Remain in place, doing your duty.
Yeah, well, I try. Okay, have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Burn yourself on the barbecue again.
Have a good one.
Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
France's Prime Minister Edouard Philippe has cautiously lifted most of the lockdown measures put in place due to COVID-19. During his address on Thursday, the Prime Minister declared that the second phase of easing the lockdown would see beaches, parks and lakes open to all from June the 2nd. The virus map was updated with all red zones disappearing and the Île-de-France, La Guyenne and Mayotte are changing to orange and the rest of France was classified as green. Bars and restaurants will return to normal in the green zones, while in the orange zones, terraces or outdoor seating will open. No more than 10 people can sit per table in restaurants and tables must be at least 1 metre apart. There will be a gradual reopening of tourist accommodation like campsites on June the 2nd in all departments, except those in the orange zones. The latter will have to wait for the third phase of deconfinement on June the 22nd. In green zones, gyms will reopen as of the 2nd of June, but those in the orange zones will remain closed until the 21st of June. Cinemas will be open to all from the 22nd of June. Stadiums, sporting events, discotheques will remain closed until at least the 21st of June, according to the Prime Minister. Holidays outside of France will only be possible following a decision from the European Union after the 15th of June, but the travel limit of 100 kilometres will be lifted as of this weekend. The borders are currently closed outside of Europe. As of the 2nd of June, all schools will be open. However, the oral exam in French for the baccalaureate is cancelled for 2020. The Prime Minister said the results are good regarding the health plan, good but not sufficiently good enough for everything to return to normal. He called for everyone to remain alert. With the easing of lockdown, masks are still strongly advised in many circumstances. Companies are invited to equip their employees. Wearing a mask on public transport remains compulsory and is preferable in shops, which have the right to refuse customers who are without a mask. Meanwhile, the health situation in the region saw COVID-19 claim two lives in the last 24 hours, one in the Outre-Maritime and one in the Var. Since the start of the health crisis, coronavirus has claimed 471 lives in the two departments. 112 patients are still hospitalised in the Outre-Maritime due to COVID-19 and nine people are still in intensive care units. As of Thursday, no positive cases for COVID-19 have been revealed. And moving on to Monaco. In Monaco, on Thursday, no new cases of the virus were reported, with the number of cases in the principality remaining at 98. 90 people have recovered from COVID-19, and one person remains in intensive care suffering from the virus. To date, one patient is also being cared for by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, following the news last week that a maths teacher in Monaco had tested positive, all 29 pupils considered possible contact cases have been tested. Results showed that they were all negative. The Monte Carlo Société des Bains de Mer will mark the occasion on June the 2nd with the inauguration of the new Place Casino and the reopening of the Café de Paris Brasserie. You can find the full list of hotels, restaurants and bars of the SBM that are reopening in the news section at rivieradio.mc. Nice Côte d'Azur Airport has announced a gradual resumption of air traffic with a minimum of 19 destinations from June. The airport will offer from the beginning of June several dozen connections to main cities in France and European capitals. This gradual upturn in air traffic should be amplified in July and then in August, depending on the lifting of restrictions which could be announced in the coming weeks. Measures have been put in place to guarantee a very high level of health security, with increased measures in terms of air and surface disinfection, flow management, as well as terminal ventilation. Just to let you know that all the flights currently announced by the airlines remain subject to possible adjustments to the traffic restrictions, and you can find a full list of flights on rivieradio.mc. On June the 28th, voters in 32 of the 163 municipalities that make up the Alt-Maritime Department will be called to the polls to designate their mayor. While in Nice, Mayor Christian Estrosi seems on the right track following results in the first round, held just before the lockdown. In Menton, the race may be tighter between Olivier Bettati of the National Rally, who finds himself just 15 points behind the outgoing Républicain Jean-Claude Goubel. Finally, figures released by Pôle emploi in France have shown that there were 843,000 additional job seekers in April, the worst increase since 1996, with more than 4.5 million job seekers in Category A in April. Unemployment in France stood at its highest level since 1996. In the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region, the number of job seekers stood at 514,790 at the end of April, increasing by 38,280 people over the following 3 months.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
To the polls.
Yes.
Are you a pole vaulter?
Not anymore.
Nein, I'm German, but how did you know my name was Volta? Sorry. Football, the English Premier League will resume on the 17th of June with Aston Villa against Sheffield United and Manchester City against Arsenal. The two fixtures are the outstanding matches from the previous round and will be followed by a full programme over the weekend of the 19th of June. Matches will be played behind closed doors with 92 left to complete the season. The BBC will air 4 live matches for the first time since the Premier League's inception, while Sky Sports will show 64 games and will make 25 available free to air. BT Sports and Amazon Prime will show the remaining games. It all depends if the British government approves the plan, but it doesn't look like they are going to step in the way unless there's a sudden spike in coronavirus cases. Formula One, the 2020 Dutch Grand Prix has been cancelled because of the coronavirus pandemic. Organisers had been hoping to reschedule the race, which had been due to take place on the 3rd of May, but that hasn't been possible. Formula One is still trying to agree on a revised schedule for 2020. And in cricket, there'll be no domestic cricket played in England until at least the 1st of August. Options for a revised schedule will be discussed early next month. England's Test and One Day programme may still be able to go ahead, with West Indies due to start a 3-Test series on the 8th of July behind closed doors.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz-Hume and the Var, the general situation is a depression, 1,030 millibars between Corsica and continental France. Winds are easterly, force 4 to 6, dropping to force 3 to 5 this afternoon. The sea is moderate, visibility is good, pour in showers. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, mainly fine, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds northeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,017 millibars. Then the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Nice little storm calmed everything down yesterday evening, didn't it? I took me to wear a jacket this morning.
We didn't get much.
You didn't get one, oh,
yeah. Well, it was really odd because there was an alert, wasn't there, from 1 p.m.
Well, Nice is very odd, isn't it?
Well, and nothing happened. Got a spot of rain at about, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Well, the forecast said late afternoon.
But then nothing really happened.
It did in Antibes.
Disappointed, really?
Loss of rain and a thunderstorm as well. Yeah. So there you go. Didn't have to water the garden. Sunshine and occasional showers this morning. Some more persistent showers this afternoon. Moderate easterly winds, a high of 22 degrees. Overnight lows 15 degrees on the coast, 12 degrees inland with clear skies. The weekend, mainly fine in coastal areas. Has some showers inland, highs of 21 to 23 degrees. You know what I think about these yellow alerts anyway?
Yes.
I mean, they just have to say it because we, you know, when we did have a really bad storm and they didn't forecast it, everyone said, oh, you didn't tell us. So now every time there's a drop of rain, they issue a yellow alert. That's my opinion anyway.
Finished?
Yes.
Was it the Eurythmics?
You looked it up.
I didn't. I was trying to think of a band of two people. You said male and female.
Might be. Might not be.
Okay. Right. Finally. Oh, God, this is going to be a hard morning, isn't it? Eating a combination of oranges and olives can lead to a huge improvement in heart health.
But at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In just weeks, a citrus olive mix can lead to reduction in cholesterol that lowers the chance of inflammation, according to researchers.
Lemon and olives, then?
Lemon, yeah. Well, that's what I said.
You said orange.
Oh, I did, didn't I? Well, it's a citrus fruit, isn't
yes.
it? Well, there you go.
You said orange to start with.
Yeah, but orange is a citrus fruit.
Yes, it is. But well, I think oranges and olives go particularly well together, whereas
well,
lemon
it is
and
oranges.
Olives...
No, it's not lemons. It's a combination. Oh, I knew this was going to be a difficult
morning. You said citrus. You just said citrus
fruit. But is an orange not a citrus fruit?
Yes, but then so is a lemon.
So it could, yeah, but it could be an orange.
Yeah, but it could
I mentioned
be an
oranges and I said citrus fruits.
Would you fancy eating oranges and olives together?
But you're just being difficult.
No, I'm not.
Yes, it's oranges and olives that work, apparently.
Castor oil's good for you, but I mean, you know. Don't want to eat that either.
Well, give it a try. Be good for your heart.
I'm sure it works with lemons as well.
I'm sure it does.
Lemons are very, very good for you anyway.
I'm not sure lemons and olive. I would prefer oranges and olives.
Well, you make when you make a vinaigrette for a salad, instead of putting vinegar in, just put lemon juice. Lemon juice, olive oil,
yeah,
salt, and pepper.
Mm.
And then you can put some olives into your salad.
Oh, no, I don't like olives.
Well, don't eat them then.
I'm not going to, even if it's with a lemon or an orange.